Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Good to see all of you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to gather here tonight. And Lord, we come from busy days. All kinds of things have been happening in the lives of our people in our church and the many who are part of our family of believers. And so we pray that tonight you would be with those who are experiencing troubles and difficulties and struggles and pains and sickness, and others who are having a great day of joy and good news and new babies and all kinds of things in their life. Lord, we thank you for all of that. We thank you, Lord, that you are with us in all the experiences of life, all the situations, all the circumstances, and that nothing that has happened to us today surprises you. You are not surprised. You are with us, you love us, and you help us. So as we do each week, we pray that you would help us tonight. Forgive us of our sins. We cannot hear your word nor receive your word if we are in sin or distracted. So Lord, I pray for myself and I pray for my friends who are here tonight that you would give us just a small little bit of time to focus and listen and hear and read and understand your word. It is our bread. It is our very life. It gives us back life, and we need life. Some of us are tired and weary, and we need fresh strength after what we've done today and how we've sought to live for Jesus today in the midst of all kinds of troubles and burdens. So we pray for our students and Tim and the leaders that are there. Pray for choir and Steve as they meet and all of our other Bible studies that go on tonight while we're in here also studying the Bible. We thank you for First Baptist Church. We thank you for gathering us here in this place. Help us make a difference for Jesus here. And may you be pleased with our thoughts and our ideas and what goes through our minds during this time as we are before your word. Now we enter and open your word, and your very presence and your very character and your very purpose is tied to your word. Help us never to take your word lightly. Help us to be serious as we approach your word. And Holy Spirit of God, be our teacher tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, if you need an outline, if you come on in, if you're here, and Doc is so capable and helpful to do this, if you raise your hand, if you don't have one of these, you're going to need it tonight. Is the PowerPoint over there, Mr. Metcalf, do you know how to flip on that, switch that over? If not, you'll need the outline because you won't be able to see it on the screen. So tonight, we're almost graduates. Oh, there it is. We're almost graduates of Psalm 119. I don't have pins for you. I don't have an award to give you. I mean, it's congratulations. So turn to your neighbor, pat him on the back, and say, one more week and it's over. Go ahead and tell him. There you go. One more week and it's over. Well, and maybe we don't. That's right. All right, we'll start over and just go through it again. No, we're going to go on. We're going to go to Proverbs, because we've got some things we need to do in the book of Proverbs. Tonight, we look at verses 161 through 168. The Hebrew letter Shin. So all of these verses, as we've all learned, begin with a word in the Hebrew language that starts with the letter Shin. And so tonight we'll be thinking about two things, all right? Before we get into the reading, you've run ahead. You always flip ahead. The students that are in this group always look ahead. So there are two things we'll be talking about tonight. Very important, very important. As we seek to obey God, two things result from what we learn tonight. As we obey God, we experience the peace of God. When we disobey God, sorry, no peace. The second thing we're going to talk about is something we don't often talk about in church. We probably need to more often. We're going to talk about when you obey God, listen, you don't stumble. So we're going to talk about spiritual stumbling and spiritual peace. So let's read these verses together. And then the focal verse tonight that we'll focus on and build a lot of our thoughts around is really what I call, you know, Psalm 119. You have these verses that are found generally in the center of the, somewhere in the center toward the end of each section. I call them the hinge psalm or the focal verse that pulls it together. I believe verse 165 is that focal verse, and that'll be our focus, and we'll build around that all of these verses. Princes persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of your words. I rejoice at your word or your promise as one who finds great spoil. I hate and despise falsehood, but I love your law. Seven times a day I praise you because of your righteous ordinances. Those who love your law, this is the focus for tonight. We'll talk around this all evening. Those who love your law have great peace. And then let me go back and read the beginning phrase. And those who love your law, nothing causes them to stumble. I hope for your salvation, O Lord, and do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you. So, before we go into thinking about the peace of God and obedience, and we start through the outline, let me just make some general observations. Again, it's important as you study your Bible, as you meditate on your Bible, notice various words that connect and also contrasts. You have various contrasts. So, you have this contrast in verse 1. There is outward persecution toward the man of God, but my heart is in awe of your words. Notice he says says something about hate and love. Notice in 163, I hate and despise falsehood, but I love your law. You have this contrast. And then you have my soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. So you see over and over these contrasts. So remember, we've learned together over time, and as you study your Bible, you ought to always look for multiple times when a word is used or for contrasts, because those give you clues and keys as to understanding and connecting the threads of God's Word. They thread together. God's eternal Word is an amazing thing. And all of God's word is true. So what we find, we're going to talk about the phrase, the peace of God, and we're going to look then at what the rest of God's word says about the peace of God. Then we're going to look at what the Bible says about spiritual stumbling. So we connect all of God's word, but we start by basically, first of all, taking this theme verse. So tonight, here's the verse for us that I want us to focus on. Anytime you teach this, you could pick any one of these. You could build a teaching around it. But I'm choosing for us tonight, Pastor Mike's talk to us tonight as a church. I feel the need for us to talk about 165. Those who love your law have great peace. Those who love your law, who love your word, have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. So you can see there. Is there somebody up there? Okay, good. You're operating. Yeah, I love having an operator. Miss Pat isn't here tonight, and I was going to have to do this, and that was going to be a bad thing. All right. Those who love your law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. So on your sheet, I want you to notice this. Those who love your law have great, and the Hebrew word is shalom. They have great shalom. Shalom, the word for peace in the Hebrew language, shalom. So you have shalom, this word that begins with the letter shin, shalom. And so you have this idea of peace, but the Hebrew word shalom means also wholeness, okay? So when we think about peace, we have to understand the Word of God, and it's all, you know, we always need to understand the Old and the New Testament together because of the connection between the two. We use the New Testament to clearly understand the Old Testament as followers of Jesus, but this word shalom is a very important word for all of us who follow Jesus. We need and we experience when we obey God and His Word. You know, I'm obeying God when I obey what He says to me in His Word. When I obey the Holy Spirit who brings the Word of God to mind, we experience the shalom of God, the peace of God through our obedience. And then we also experience God's help in avoiding stumbling. But we'll get to that. So we're going to cut in half our time, and the first half of our time we'll talk about God's shalom, God's peace. Are you experiencing tonight God's peace? Well, you can tell, because if your mind's racing with fear and worry and anxiety and all kinds of things and all kinds of emotions that are not helping you, you can't pray, you're having trouble, you're upset with people, you're not experiencing the peace of God. Now, there's peace with God we learn about, but there's also the peace of God. So tonight, those of us, I include myself, if I'm not obeying the Word of God, if I'm not living as an obedient follower of Jesus, obeying God's Word in my life, doing the things I know I should do, I lack the peace of God. The peace of God is not permanent just because you're a follower of Jesus. The peace of God is tied to your obedience to the Lord and the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. This is very important. When Paul describes the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, and many of us, I'm looking around, most of us know this, he lists the fruit of the Spirit. Love is number one, joy, and then the third thing is peace. Peace. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. Peace is such a wonderful thing. A lot of us try to move off on top of a mountain trying to have peace. The only problem is you still got your mind to fight with. You still got to battle with the internal problem of not having peace. Lots of people say, well, I'm just going to move away from everybody. You know, I met some people when I lived in Colorado. They moved up way on top, getting up there in the 14ers, all those 14,000 foot. They lived up there trying to hide from everybody. But the problem is, they were there. And they were still rattled. And they were still troubled. And they were still in pain. We got people live all out around us here. They don't want anybody to live around them. They think peace comes from separation from others. No, you still got you. And I still got me. So when I lay down at night, I can't get away from me. I'm still there. So tonight I ask you this question, my dear friends. Are you living in the peace of God? Shalom. So this verse becomes very special. Those who love your law, please notice the modifier, have great shalom, have great peace. So what does it mean then for us to experience the peace of God? Well, we live in the peace of God regardless of our situation. See, this is the irony. People want to try to find a place that they think is a peaceful place, and that's going to give them peace. No, life situations and geography will never, ever provide for you peace. Peace is tied to obedience to God's Word. So I want you to see these passages, this section, and look at all of the different things that David was experiencing here in the psalm that were hard situations. Starts off in verse number 161. Princes, that is people in authority, rulers, persecute me without a cause. Nevertheless, he's feeling the pressure and the persecution of these people in authority. It might be your boss. It might be someone else in a position of authority. It might be governments for some Christians in some parts of the world. It might be, pick whatever you want, but here you see, and I've listed for you, look at all of these different circumstances or situations of life that the psalmist is praying, and he's testifying to the fact that he has the peace of God in spite of 161, persecution. 161, you could also say ridicule. And I'd like for you to look back at verse number 23, because this has been mentioned before. Psalm 119, 23. Even though princes, now don't you love this? Sit and talk. There you go. Even though princes sit and talk, your servant meditates on your statutes. Pat is serving on the Tennessee Baptist Convention board, and she was there at a meeting. She was talking to me about that, and this is important, and many of you have served on boards. And so they had a man come and talk about what it means to be a good board member. And one of the things that the man said to all the new board members is, now one of the things you don't want to do as a good board member is sit around and have secret meetings. That sounds like a Baptist church. Oh, sorry, I got too close to home there. Shouldn't have brought that up. You know, when there are those who disagree with you, they sit and talk. They sit and talk. And they talk and sit. And they sit and talk. I'm going to say this a few times to get you annoyed. I'm trying to make a point. They sit and talk. They talk and sit. They sit and talk and talk and sit. And that's all they do is sit and talk and talk and sit. And if you are caught in that, listen to the words. Even though princes sit and talk against me, your servant does what? I go sit down and have a big defense with them and a battle, and we have a big argument. No, no, no. Your servant pays attention to what matters. Your servant meditates on your statutes. All right? That's for every one of us here. Somebody in your family, some part of your family, sitting around talking about you. Well, somebody at work, sitting around talking about you. You feel the ridicule. It's hurtful what words are said. I think we just must remember what it feels like when someone does it to us, and we must say as followers of Jesus, I'm not going to do that to other people. Amen? I think that would be the answer we would want to remember. But the peace of God is with you even when you're being ridiculed without a cause. Notice, princes persecute me. There's not a reason for it. I don't deserve it without a cause. There's intimidation. When it's a prince, that's intimidating. It's intimidating. Some of these who would sit and talk about us. And of course, then you see the idea of need here. I rejoice, 161, at your word as one who finds great spoil. Here's what I found in the Bible. I found in God's word the great spoils. I found, what Jesus call it? The treasure, the hidden treasure in the field that the man gave up everything else, the pearl of great price. He's talking about the kingdom of God. Same idea. This precious, amazing fact of having God's word, it is like it's the riches of riches. And so, in spite of need, here we see a man testifying to how he lives in the peace of God. Regardless of lies and falsehood, 163, I hate and despise falsehood. I hate and despise falsehood, but I love your law. So when we think about promises and God's presence, let's look at some verses together. And if you have your copy of God's Word, I assume on Wednesday night you have it. If not, you can listen along with me. But let's look at some of these together. I think they're very important for you to connect together as we think about God's promises and the peace and presence and peace. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 3 for just a moment. And this will be an example of how sometimes in the days ahead we'll connect the Psalms and the Proverbs, because we've studied them now for, this is going on this fourth year, we've looked at the Psalms together, and we'll be starting our fourth year in the Proverbs. So chapter 3, verse number 1, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. So notice obedience, let your heart keep my commandments. for length of days, years of life, here it is, and peace they will add to you. Pastor Mike, how do I get settled in? How do I get peace in my life? By obeying God's word. By listening to it, by paying attention to it, by keeping it in your heart, by treasuring it. We see the peace of God is added to us, and length of days and years as we remember. Don't forget God's word, so you have to remember it. And we obey it. We keep it. Let's look at these two wonderful verses in Isaiah. I wanted you to have them. Many of you have these marked and you've looked at them. Some of you have taught on these verses as teachers in our church. But for right now, let's go back to them. Isaiah 26:2. In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. We set up walls and ramparts for security. Open the gates that the righteous nation may enter. The one that remains faithful. The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. Now, did you read those words carefully in verse 3? The steadfast mind. In other words, your mind's not jumping around, bouncing around like you're in a tumble dryer. See, peace of mind means your mind settles. Settles. We've got some of our people in this church that are horse people. They know all about horses. You know, I don't know anything about horses, but I'm going to tell you this much. I'm not going to get on a horse if it's not settled down. There's no way I'm getting on a horse. If it's all just all moving around and up and down, jumping around and carrying on, you want a settled animal before you get, you've got to settle your mind. Tonight, you need to ask yourself if you have peace of mind, peace of God and peace of mind. Is your mind settled, or is it just bouncing? Even as I'm talking at 7 o'clock and 47 seconds, your mind is going from here to there to over there to next week to, you know, the government to the president to your family. Your mind is just flying around, spinning like a turbine. A settled mind, a steadfast mind, you will keep in perfect peace. And that is a great verse because we trust the Lord. When there's intimidation, persecution, need, troubles, lies, falsehood, peace. Because we obey God's word and we trust the Lord. And then in verse chapter 32, verse 17, you see these words. Isaiah 32:17. And the work of righteousness will be peace, and the service of righteousness, quietness and confidence forever. What a wonderful thing. Peace and quietness. That's what we want. But you need it on the inside, not just because you live a long way from everybody. You need it on the inside. This is what everybody wants. This is why people drink alcohol. They want peace and calm and something to soothe them. This is why people take drugs. They want quiet and peace. The peace of God comes to those who obey God, who trust God. This verse is special. And the service of righteousness, quietness, and confidence forever. So this describes for us those who live and who have a new righteousness. And then, of course, what must we say? We must see the two words of Jesus on peace. We've heard them preached, most of us, all of our lives. But I'm asking you tonight to apply them to your life. Are you experiencing the peace of God in your life tonight? Or are you like a termite in a yo-yo? Think about that for a while. That's a pretty confusing condition to be in. A termite in a yo-yo. John 14:27. Jesus said, red letter words, peace I hope you find. Is that what he said? Peace. Peace I what, church? What? I give you or I leave with you. My peace I give you. not as the world gives, do I give to you. Don't let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Two marks of lacking peace: fear and an unsettled mind, spinning around like a termite in a yo-yo. Just on and on. You can't sleep. You can't get up. You can't go to work. You can't stop. Wherever you go, it's all the time with you. You're just being driven and terrorized by a lack of peace in your mind. God never intended for us to live like that as followers of Jesus. Well, Pastor Mike, I got a lot of things to do in my life. I got business to do. Okay, well, you can do your business without, you can do your business with the peace of God. You're a better businessman or woman if you do it with the peace of God. You make better decisions with the peace of God than in a state of agitation and unsettledness. Jesus says also in John chapter 16, verse 33, these things I have spoken. By the way, last words, he sums up John 14, 15, and 16. And many of you in this room know these are some of the most, these are the words of Jesus in the upper room when Jesus was with his disciples in the most intimate setting with the 12 after the betrayer walks out and starts his work to betray Jesus. The last thing Jesus says before his great prayer in chapter 17. Last statement. Listen, these things, all of this, 14, 15, and 16. These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. Shalom. The Greek word is eirene, peace. In the world you have trouble, but take courage. I have overcome the world. If Jesus has overcome the world, he gives us now the ability as his followers to overcome. Why are many of us tonight having to read Psalm 119, 165 as an indictment? Because it's not true for us. Those who love your law have great peace. I ask you, it's my job. I've asked myself today, I'm not going to talk to you about anything I don't first talk to myself about and ask the Lord to help me with. But now I'm speaking to you. Here's my question. Do you have and are you living with the peace of God? Peace of God. Well, we also learn in their famous words. Every preacher of record preaches on Philippians 4. But while we're thinking about peace, I'll read it to you again. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Don't be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses comprehension, will guard your heart and your minds. When you really pray, you experience peace. When you don't really pray, you don't have peace. So really talking with God brings peace. Studying God's word and paying attention to the word of God and obeying it brings peace. When I'm facing ridicule, pressure, intimidation, needs, lies, falsehood, we could go on. So then we notice something else. We express God's peace in many ways in all the circumstances of our life. What's amazing about Psalm 119 verses 161 to 168 is now we see, and I've listed them here for you, look at the expressions that come in all the circumstances. So how do I talk? How do I feel when I have the peace of God in my life? Well, I've listed them here for you. Some examples. Princes persecute me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of your words. There is just something, I cannot describe it to you. You know, I try to do this myself. I never want to take God's word lightly and open it up and not remember. I am about to open the very words of God, eternal words that give me life, and give me peace, and give me direction, and give me hope. and give me the words God has for me. This is a sacred thing to open God's word and to approach it in the high and holy way we ought to. These words ought to bring awe to our lives. And when we've truly understood how to study them and memorize them, meditate on them, and how they protect us, it brings an awe to our lives. My heart stands in awe of your word. Notice he's not in awe of the princes. He's in awe of God's word. Then he says in 162, I rejoice at your word. So what's happening to this man who is experiencing the peace of God? He's in awe of God's word. He's also rejoicing in God's word. There's nothing more important. And we do this all the time. I'm proud of the fact. This is what we do at our church. We study the Bible. We want the young people to study the Bible. We want the children to study the Bible. We want all the old people to study the Bible, and all the young people, and all the middle-aged people, everybody learning how to read, hear, study, memorize, and meditate God's word. That's our business here. If we're going to be followers of Jesus, I must put more of this in me than anything else I put in me, which means maybe we need to regulate some of our television time or whatever else time you have. I often ask you, where is your Bible when you leave church? I hope it's not here in the Bible reservation rack back here. I hope you took your Bible home after I made that speech about I'm going to get all the Bibles out of that rack and list the names of everybody who left their Bible and put in the bulletin. By the way, you left your Bible out here in the Bible reservation rack. Probably need to take it home. I'm just kidding. Somebody thought I was serious. But I am saying you probably ought to check the rack back there in case your Bible's back there. I love God's word, 163. What does someone who has the peace of God do? They love God's word. I love God's word. I love God's word. Do you love God's word? What you love, you spend time in. You think about it. You're around it. I praise God because of the word of God. Look at this. 7 times a day I praise you because of your righteous ordinances. Praise is the result of the word of God. Sometimes we come to church, we can't get going, we're in here, the choir's singing, we're trying to worship and praise, but our soul, our mind, our hearts, we just can't get going. The question is, where's the word of God? The word of God, God speaking to me, brings out of me praise, because every time I'm with the Lord in his word, it just causes me to praise God for his wonders and his glory and his amazing salvation and his care and whatever else I might be looking at. Praise. Instead of turmoil, my heart stands in awe of God. Instead of fear, I rejoice. Instead of worry, I love God's word. I praise God's word. I hope, look at 166. I hope for your salvation, O Lord, and do your commandments. And I obey your word. My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. Remember, this is a prayer of the man of God saying to God, who knows whether you're telling the truth or not in your prayer, I am obeying your word. So tonight, are you lacking the peace of God? Are you troubled? Are you worrying? Are you fearful? Are you afraid? Those are things that are separate from the peace of God. And then he says this amazing thing in 168, I keep your precepts and your testimonies. Listen, for all my ways are before you. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. Now, I could go on there, but I need to talk to you about the next section. And I would add a word to this slide at the top if you keep notes. I think it should really say obeying and walking, not falling and sinning. That's really what it should say, not obeying and standing. I think it would be better for it to say obeying and walking, not falling and sinning. So notice these are all present tense words. Obeying God and walking with God versus falling away from God and sinning against God. So tonight I want you to on your notes, if you take notes, there are three words used. First of all, this phrase here, let's go to 165. Those who love your law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. So the Hebrew word here, stumble, is the idea of an obstacle. It was sometimes used to describe traps that were used by hunters to capture animals. It's an obstacle. It's a trap. It's an obstacle. Better to broaden it to the idea of an obstacle. Something in the way. Something that's in the way. Now we're going to also look in the New Testament at two words that are used, translated for stumbling, and I just want you to note these ahead of time. First word that we look at is this word here in 119, 165, which means an object that's in the way. Stumbling over an object. The second word is the word, I'm going to say the word in Greek because it'll sound like an English word, scandalia. What does that sound like? Scandal, scandalous. So the next word we'll look at, and we'll see the references to it in just a moment, stumbling is a scandal. Boy, do we know about scandals. In fact, lots of people like, the news people love scandals. Church people like scandals. Human beings like scandals. It's a little boring without a scandal. It's a very important word. And then the last word we'll talk about is another Greek word that means a stone, which sounds very silly. A stone in the road. A stone. See, all of these cause a problem. And this is really important, folks. I cannot emphasize to you how important this is. Spiritual stumbling leads to spiritual sin. So tonight I have two questions for you that I've asked myself today. Number one, before I get into it, what happens when I spiritually stumble? So I'm asking you. You might ought to make a note. This is worth meditating on your own. Drive your car, drive home thinking about it. What happens when I spiritually stumble? What causes me to spiritually stumble? What things have come in my life that have caused spiritual stumbling? Second question is, this is a hard one now. Am I a source of stumbling for someone? And we'll look at both of those tonight for just a moment. So when we obey God's word, look what the promise is. Nothing causes them to stumble. So says the word of God. Those who love your law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. And then I'm tying this to the last verse. I keep your precepts, 168, and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you. You cannot talk about this fact of spiritual stumbling without talking about the permanent presence and awareness of God. Here's what this basically says. For all my ways you see. That's the idea of these words. God sees it all. He sees it all in me. He sees everything in me as I speak to you, whether it is of truth or lie. He sees down to the core of my being. He sees the motivation of my heart. He sees. You might want to make a note reference to Psalm 139. I'll just read it to you. Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me. So when I would just say to you, my practice is I make this a point. When I sit before the Lord to begin my time with Him, He is searching me. He is searching me right then. So Mike, as you come this morning to me, He searches me. And He knows me. You know when I sit down, when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize, the New American Standard says, you scrutinize my path and my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. You can't run away from God. He sees it all. He sees it all. What a motivation for obedience, and what a motivation to keep me from stumbling. I can't go run out somewhere and hide under a bush and do what I want to do selfishly. God sees me. I may act in a hypocritical way like everything's wonderful and good, but God sees in my heart if I'm lying. Isn't that why Jesus said to the Pharisees, "You're like whitewashed tombs, so lovely on the outside, full of dead men's bones"? So the internal and the external must match. God sees us tonight. Proverbs chapter 5, I would read to you, and these are introductory comments, but I need to make them as we're moving along. So I want you to stay with me. We're going to think about stumbling for a moment. We could really expand on this, but we'll get through it. Proverbs 5:21, "For the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord." Hear the word of God now tonight, church. "For the ways of a man," the ways of Mike Miller, all my plans, all my attitudes, all the ways, all the things I sit and talk with Pat about, all the things that I have privately in my life, all the ways of Mike Miller are before the eyes of the Lord, and He watches all His paths. All my ways and all my paths are seen by God. And we've all learned, because those of us, I'm looking around, most of us, when we do our Proverbs studies, we know how many times Solomon teaches us ways and paths are very much important because they describe lifestyle. Ways and paths. The way we live. The way we live. So, tonight, let's think for a moment about the danger of stumbling. The danger of stumbling. Go that next slide, Mr. Metcalf. Notice, I've given you some examples here. What is it that causes me to stumble? When I don't believe God. When I don't believe God can change the situation I'm facing, I stumble. You know what? Because I'm not living by faith. I'm living in unbelief. That's stumbling. And maybe I should go back. You know, when you stumble, you don't plan to stumble, do you? I mean, none of us woke up today and said, "I think I'll just stumble over the bed today and bust my head open. I think I'll just stumble over that rock out in the yard. I think today'd be a good day to stumble." There's not one of us that gets up and does that. Stumbling, stay with me now, pay attention, this is important. Stumbling happens along the way of life. We don't try to fall, but obstacles get in our way and cause a fall. Nevertheless, I fall. Have you stumbled in following Jesus? Well, Pastor Mike, it's those preachers that have been in my life. You know, I bring this up because this is a thing I've heard most of my life. You know, I've spent a lot of time in a lot of churches listening to people talk about the preachers were the problem in the church. And preachers can be a problem in the church. They put on their britches like everybody else. They got to be following Jesus. Or they can be a rascal. But it's as if the preacher's the issue, not the person. No. Stumbling is a personal thing. I can feel bad for you stumbling, but it's different when I stumble. What do you stumble over? What causes you to go to unbelief? God will never be able to change that. I've heard that in my ministry life. People saying to me in the sadness of their life, "It'll never be any different. God can never change that." That's the talk of unbelief. Who talks like that? We believe that God can do anything, do we not? Well, you've stumbled into unbelief. What's the impediment that came in your life? Well, that person, "I'm never going back to church again. They're all hypocrites." Bless God, and you are too. Join the club. See, what's the impediment? Is it like the Hebrew word, is it a big obstacle, or is it like Jesus is going to talk to us about, a little stone in the road? You know, Jesus knew something about walking. That's all He did, was walk down dirt roads. And there were rocks on the road. Lewis, are there any rocks over there in Israel? Okay, I thought there were. and they get on the road. Any of you ever walked on a gravel road? Oh yeah, some of you have walked in the snow for miles and miles to school, and you took your lunch, and your mama would never pick you up on the wagon. Okay, I know all that. If you ever walked on a gravel road, you fall down sometimes on the rocks. Stones. It's not a big obstacle. It's not a boulder. It's just a stone that causes you to trip. No one plans to fall. But obstacles come, and the way we respond, if we're not watching, we can fall into sin. We can stumble into forgetfulness of God. I don't need to go. I don't need to study the Bible anymore. Like a fellow said to me, Pastor Mike, I'm glad we're doing discipleship for the people in our church, but I've been in church all my life. I pretty much know all that stuff. Really. And I appreciate his honesty. But, I mean, we all need to keep learning God's word. Because, by the way, today you're older than you've ever been. And what you knew yesterday ain't going to help you for today. You need God's word for today. We all stumble in sinfulness, all kinds of ways we stumble in sinfulness. We forget these things that cause scandal in our life. Why do scandals come? Well, let's go to Matthew chapter 5 and let's look at what Jesus said, some of the hardest words in the Bible that have been most often misunderstood. But let's not take the hyperbole out of it too quickly and miss the point. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 5, Sermon on the Mount, talking to followers of Jesus, if your right eye makes you stumble, the word is, if your right eye makes you scandalous, if your right eye causes a scandal, tear it out and throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one part of your body than your whole body be thrown into hell. If your right hand makes you scandalous, cut it off and throw it from you, for it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than your whole body to go to hell. Stumbling because of not controlling our bodies. We're going to learn about Sunday under grace. We're under the grace of God. We have died to sin, and we're to present our bodies to God as instruments of righteousness, and we have died to sin. So I don't take my body to the old places I used to go and feed the old passions. So what is it that causes you to stumble and sin, causes scandal with your body? You got to look at the sources. You got to pay attention to where you walk. You see, the obedient person is already doing this. The obedient person, let me just list it here for you. Back in Psalm 119, verse 163, the obedient person has learned to hate and despise falsehood. That means I'm not going to listen to it. I'm not going to listen to things that cause me to stumble. I'm not going to listen to it. Are you listening to me, church? I am not going to listen to it. I refuse to allow the stumbling block of falsehood to pull me in. I'm not going to. I hate falsehood. I despise it. This is what the obedient person says. This is what keeps me from scandal. By the way, did you notice in 161, princes persecute me without a cause. I'm not a scandalous person. I'm not causing offense. He says in 166, I hope for your salvation and do your commandments. So what keeps me from being in scandal and from falling? Obeying God's word. 167, my soul keeps your testimonies and I love them exceedingly. When I put my emotional focus on obeying God's word, I will not be trapped by scandals. This is why this promise is so powerful. Those who love your law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble, not even your spouse or your kids or the preacher or the deacons or your boss, or and just go down the list. So when we stumble, We've lost our focus on our way of obeying God. You see, when you obey God and you know that the Lord watches you and He also watches your ways, He will remind you. This is what we learn in the book of Proverbs. Don't go down the path of the sinner. If you go run with that crowd, you're going to be like that crowd. If you listen to it all in the media, you're going to be like that. Oh, Brother Mike, you know, the church in America, we're so trapped by the culture, we have to regulate how much of it that you take in. You have to decide to say no to how much you listen to all of that. Jesus said something very important to His church. Look, I'm trying to help us all remember, we don't have to stumble. You stumble when you don't obey God. You stumble when you forget the Lord's already seeing the path ahead of you and saying, turn to the right. Don't go over there. Go this way. That's what the Holy Spirit's doing in your life. If you're listening, don't think that. Don't associate there. Don't go there. But if you go there, it can be a little stone or it can be a giant obstacle. But then the scandal comes. Jesus said, John 11:9. These wonderful words. Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble. You know why? Because you're in the light. We learned in Psalm 119, the word is a lamp to our feet and a what? Light to what? Our path. I got a light around me when I got the Word of God with me. I got light around me. If I don't have the Word of God, I'm back in the dark. It's a hard thing not to fall down. That's why some of us put in night lights at our house so we don't fall down. Because our mate won't put up their shoes and their britches and stuff at night. So Jesus promises to keep us from something that will trap us. And then finally, I don't have time to do it, but I want you to hear it. Jesus does remind us in Mark 9:32, and I'll read it and we're done. I'm half a minute past time. Please forgive me, but I need to finish this. Jesus talks about the danger of stumbling. I may not have given you the right verse. I did not. But Jesus warns us and says, woe to those through whom stumbling comes. I don't want to be a source of stumbling to you. And you don't want to be a source of stumbling to others. We want people to see in us Jesus and come closer to Jesus. Yes, do we not? Isn't that what we want? We want them to see in us the graciousness, the love, and the kindness of Jesus and the evidence that Jesus is working in our life. I didn't say perfection. I said something that is a sweet aroma. That's what Paul calls it. God's perfume is the work of the Holy Spirit inside of you and me. And people who know Jesus, guess what? They smell God's perfume. People who do not know Jesus, it stinks. That's what Paul said. It's an aroma of life or an aroma of death for those who follow Jesus. So John, 1 John 2:10, you can look at it on your own. The Bible basically says those who walk in the light, listen, those who walk in the light, 1 John 2:10, those who walk in the light are not a source of stumbling. So tonight, we leave here saying, Lord, help us walk in the light. So I'm going to begin like I, and you can look at these other verses about standing, not stumbling. They're great verses. And oh my, what Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1, if we'll live by the spiritual disciplines God's given us, we will not stumble. So I give you the warning I give myself tonight. I give you the same words that I've given myself and thought about all this day. Those who love your law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. So Heavenly Father, we commit our time to you tonight, and we pray that you would help us not to be scandalous people. We pray that you might help us to walk in the light and not be a source of scandal to anyone. Lord, we will be improperly ridiculed. We will be falsely accused. But Lord, those are falsehoods. When we stand before you with a clear conscience, when we've done the best we can to be at peace with all people, and even though then we are criticized and ridiculed, we will stand to say, we don't want to be a stumbling block to any. You warned us, woe to those through whom stumbling blocks come. Lord, help us to pay attention and walk in the light of your word. As we hear your word and the Holy Spirit talks to us, it'll keep us from the obstacles and the traps, the big ones and the little stones that can cause us to fall. Lord, for some of us tonight, we're falling over something little, but it's taken us down spiritually. Help us, Lord, to learn tonight that those who love your word have great peace and nothing causes them to stumble. We love you tonight. We pray that you bring us back together Sunday. Thank you for the blessing of your word and how blessed it is to fill our minds and teach us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you. Good to see all of you tonight.